Open your Bible, if you would, to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Name of the message is Justified.
Justified. Last night I decided to look up the word justified in the Greek. It means to be rendered innocent. I'm looking at a bunch of folks. If you're trusting in Christ, you've been rendered innocent before God's law. Rendered innocent. We're sinners, aren't we? Still. Rendered innocent. By the grace and by the mercy of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. My. And how are we justified? By Christ. In Christ alone. And we're going to see here, a lot of folks don't like preaching on the blood, and they're even taking the blood out of hymn books now. But how can you be justified except by the blood? Except through the redeeming, precious, flowing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture says here in Romans chapter 5, verse 9, that's where we start, says, much more than being justified by His blood, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Saved from wrath. Justified by His blood and saved from wrath. Whose wrath? God's wrath. Saved. Justified. Rendered innocent by His blood. Sinners. We're sinners from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. We come out of the womb speaking lies. We're conceived in sin. Rendered innocent by the blood of Christ. And as I said in Sunday school, when He died on the cross, right, He endured the wrath that was due us for all the elect of all the ages. So by the shedding of His blood, He rendered innocent all the elect of all the ages by His one work. Never again to be repeated. He cried what? It is finished. It's perfect. And we are rendered innocent by His blood. That's a wonder. We couldn't make ourselves innocent of one of our sins, could we? Let alone the billions that we commit in our life. And by the shedding of His precious blood, we are rendered innocent by His blood. Saved from the wrath of God that fell upon Him instead of us. What a Savior. What a Redeemer is Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at this. For if when we were enemies, that was in our minds, right? Before we were saved. People have a hard time with that. You've heard me say many times, I've talked to people and say, you know, we were enemies with God before we were saved. And I even had one lady who told me, she claimed to be a grace lady, and she said, I was never an enemy with God. And I said, well, if you were never an enemy of God, then you're not one of His. Because we all recognize that we were enemies with God in our minds. It says, look at this though. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. See, there's the finished work of the cross right there, right? Much more being reconciled. So the breach that occurred during Adam's fall, right? The broken fellowship with God has now been restored. In and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're now reconciled to God. Paul's stating facts here, isn't he? And remember, who the true author is, the Holy Spirit's stating facts, isn't he?
He says, you're being reconciled. Reconciled. To God. By whose work? By the death of His Son. By His work. And His work alone. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. His perfect life, living as our substitute. And not only so, but we also joy in God. Now we have joy. We talked about that, Dave. We got joy we never had before. Unspeakable. Joy. We searched for joy in other things, and they were just, all they did was bring misery. This is true joy. This is heart joy. This is soul joy, isn't it? In Christ. Look at this. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the conduit, right? He's the only name under heaven whereby we must be saved. He's the great conduit. He's the only way that the blessings of God come from the throne of God to we who are His people through Christ. Look at that. By whom now we have received the atonement. Henry Mahan used to explain the atonement as at one-ment with God. At one-ment. We were at we had enmity with God, right? Now we're at one-ment. We've been reconciled by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's all Him. It all circles back to our great God and King, doesn't it? All right back to Him. Wherefore, by one man sin entered into the world. Now, here we go. Paul, again, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is going to set before the Romans the fact that we became sinners through Adam, through his fall. See, I remember hearing a preacher say, if you get it wrong at the fall, you get it wrong with it all. That's so true. There's been preachers who denied the fall and preached Christ, but they're not really preaching the Christ of the Bible, are they? Because you can't get it wrong at the fall and know the one true living God. No, no, no. The only reason Christ came into this world to save those who fell, who are His people. The elect of God, right? My, oh my. Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, that's Adam, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Look at that. So death, spiritual death, fell upon us all. Do you know there would have been no death if Adam hadn't fallen? They were living souls. There would have been no death. But the Lord said, don't eat. One law. Don't eat of that tree. We didn't fall when Eve ate the fruit, did we? We fell when Adam ate the fruit. And several commentators, I was telling the dear sister this the other night, several commentators bring forth, I think it was Henry, that the whole reason he took that fruit because his love for Eve. His love for Eve. His bride. And because he's the federal head, we all fell in him. And think of this. This is something I want us to think about too. Again, this was brought up by an old-time preacher, and he said this. He said, man is placed in the perfect environment, and he still falls. There it is, right? So by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. And then what happened? Death passed upon all his kin, all his people. We're all sons and daughters of Adam, no matter what the pigmentation of our skin is. We're the human race. Remember, it's not different races. We're the human race. Scripture calls people go crazy when you say that. I told my son, I belong to the human race. I don't look at different people of different races. It's the human race. Oh, Dad, you can't talk like that. Well, yeah, I can, because the Bible talks about that. We're one people, one blood, right? Just different pigmentation of skin. That's all. Different features. That's all. We're all human, though. All of us. See, it's man that's made this division. It's man. It's hatred in our hearts that's made this division. And you know what? Man's pride makes one think they're better than the other. We're no better than anyone at all. We're just a bunch of dead dog sinners, aren't we? That's all we are. Oh, my. Look what he says here. Wherefore is by one man sin into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. That means everyone. Man, woman, and child. Every human that's born of a father. A human father. See? We have to qualify that now, right? Because Christ is the seed of the woman. He's conceived by the Holy Spirit of God. But every son and daughter of Adam, dead in trespasses and sins. That's what that's saying to us. All sinned. All of us are guilty before God. What a predicament. And not one of us can help ourselves, let alone anyone else. And it says this, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin's not imputed where there's no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, spiritual death. Moses was born dead in trespasses and sins, just like us. Right? All those people, born dead in trespasses and sins, they had to be born again, just like us. They had to be given faith to believe, just like us, right? That's why Spurgeon said, all the elect of all the ages is the bride of Christ. Who were the Old Testament saints looking to? The Messiah. Who are we looking to? The Messiah. The Lord Jesus Christ. His name is being revealed to us now. But they were looking to the Messiah. They were looking for the coming one. They were looking for the promised one. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. That's us. Wonderful. Wonderful. And it says here, nevertheless death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if, though the offense by one man many be dead, look at this, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace which is by one man, Jesus Christ, had abounded unto many. People say, oh, just a few folks that the Lord says. Well, the Scripture says many. I'm believing the Scripture over someone's point of view, right? When God says that the elect are a number that no man can number, I can't number that, can you? That's a lot of people. We don't even know the number of the people. Spurgeon put this out there, and he said he believed, I like this. He said, I believe there's going to be more people in heaven because the devil won't beat out the Lord. Because he's suffering. I don't know. I just know this. I know it's many. I know it's a number that no man can number. I know the Lord's never turned away anyone who's come to Him. I know that. I know that. That's why we say, sinner friend, come to Christ. He is the only hope for sinners. My, oh my. But His grace abounds unto many. And we who believe, we're living proof of that. We're monuments of His grace. Even though we don't think that way, we are. We're monuments to the grace of God. Isn't that wonderful? That's just incredible. It says, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Look at that. Justification. Rendered innocent. Rendered innocent through Christ Jesus our Lord. And then the apostle is establishing here the truth throughout this epistle that a man is justified before God, not by our works, right? Not by anything we do. No. But through Christ and Him alone.
And we're given God-given faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, aren't we? Yeah. Paul says we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have everything. We're justified through Him. We're sanctified through Him. We're redeemed through Him. We have everything through Christ as believers. My.
Look at verse 9 again. It says, "Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." So he's bringing forth in this chapter, is justification only for the circumcised Jew or for the Gentile as well? Is it for both? Or is it just for the Jew? And why does Paul ask this question? Well, because the Jews not only believed that justification before God depended on at least part of their works, right? But that this blessing was connected with circumcision. See, they've been taught that all their life. That this blessing was conditional upon circumcision. I always ask, well, what about the ladies? See, the blessing was circumcised, or circumstantial in Christ. In Christ, in Him alone. Just because one was circumcised didn't make him a spiritual Jew. He was a Jew by nature, born into that, but not a spiritual Jew. You know, we who are born again are spiritual Israel. Isn't that incredible? How do we know that? Well, Let's turn there. Galatians chapter 3. We've been going through that, but I want us to look at this again. Galatians chapter 3. It's so clear in Scripture when the Holy Spirit gives us eyes to see, because otherwise I never knew any of this stuff before the Lord saved me. He had to reveal it all. Galatians chapter 3. Look at this. We're starting verse 24 of Galatians chapter 3. It says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ." When we looked at that in Sunday school, that was that's not like a teacher, because it can't teach us anything. That was a child conductor in the Greek. That was one who took the child to school, to the teachers. See, the Holy Spirit's our teacher. He teaches us. Right? "Law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." See, every believer has faith in Christ. There's no true born-again believer that doesn't have faith. That's why you hear me talk about that justification by death. You go to a funeral, you know this person didn't love Christ, and that preacher will preach him right into glory. Some of the old-timers called that justification by death, and it's a horrible thing. Because we're only justified through Christ. That's the only one who we're justified through. Christ and Christ alone. And it's by faith in Christ. And that's God-given faith, isn't it? That's God-given faith. "For ye are all children of God by faith." Look at that. "You're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Now look at this. Here we go. "There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus." That means Jew or Gentile, right? Our differences in any kind of form, right? In any kind of form. Things that divide man are not to divide us in the body of Christ. We're one. Doesn't matter where you come from, right? Doesn't matter the color of your skin. Doesn't matter about any of that. That all vanishes in Christ. All of it. "There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed." And look at this. Look at that. Look at verse 29. "And if you be Christ," if you're Christ, here's a statement of fact. Put in here. You know, and for years I never saw this verse. For years I never saw it until the Lord showed me grace. I remember when we first found out, Vicki and I were
I remember exactly where we were. We were listening to a sermon by Henry Mahan, and he said, God's people are spiritual Israel. And we were crying, and he was preaching on Ephesians chapter 2. My, oh my. The middle wall partition broken down. Right? And we who were far off, Gentiles, are brought nigh by the blood of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? That's what happened to us. Look at this. And if ye be Christ, if you're Christ, now here's a statement of fact, then ye are Abraham's seed. You're the one to whom the promises were given. How can we say that as Gentiles? Because the promises are in who? They're in Christ. Amen, sister. They're only in Christ. They're nowhere else. They're nowhere else. There are absolutely no promises of God outside of Christ. They're all in Him. And we know that because in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, and all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. Yea and amen. So Paul's, again, this is the Holy Spirit's words. This is the Holy Spirit's word. And then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Well, who's the heirs? Look at chapter 4. Now then I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. So you can't tell one of God's elect from someone who's not one of God's elect. You can't tell in their natural state. No one would know that I was one of God's elect in my natural state. And no one did. I didn't even know. Did you know? We had no clue, did we? This is a revelation of God. And we're rejoicing, aren't we? So look at this. Though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. See, our God is absolutely sovereign. There is a time appointed. Now think of this. Travis brought this up yesterday. He had mentioned this in his message the last time I had him fill in for me. And it was wonderful. He said that our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparents were where they were, exactly by God's providence and decree, and they were bought to be exactly where we would be to hear the gospel. Isn't that amazing? My wife's family was bought from Germany to Michigan. And went out west. They were Waldensians when they came over here. Waldensians were Baptistic Calvinists. They loved the gospel. And they were being slaughtered by the Catholic Church, just like the Huguenots. And so they fled to all different places over the world. Well, her family came here to Michigan. And then, as sometimes happens, the mother was very strong in her faith, and the kids just went off the rails and got into Christian Science and all this other stuff, and eventually ended up out in Oregon, where my bride was born. And then, California, and then up to Oregon. And then we drive down to a conference in Rescue, California. And lo and behold, the Lord brings a preacher over named Donnie Bell. And she hears the gospel for the first time. All orchestrated. Then we come here, unknown to us, we've made full circle with her family, and we're back in Michigan. Isn't God amazing? All for His plan and purpose. See? We had no idea. She meets some Canadian guy on the internet, and her family says, well, he might be an axe murderer. Well, yeah, I might have been, but I wasn't. You know. My, oh, my. My, oh, my. And here we are with you guys. And we love it. It's amazing what God does. See? Do you see how God works and moves? By His appointed time, right? And then look at this. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Why? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, remember over there in verse
29 of chapter 3 and said, if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Look at this in Galatians chapter 6. And because ye are sons, because you're heirs, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You ever wonder, why, Lord, was I saved? Because you were sons. Because you were chosen by God in eternity. Nothing in us, is there? Oh, my. Wherefore, look at verse 7. We'll close with that one. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. We're justified through Christ. We're rendered innocent through Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Glory to His name. Glory. Now, much more now being justified by His blood. Purchased by His blood. Redeemed by His blood. We're not our own anymore, are we? We're Christ now. My, let's look at verse 10 again. It says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, how much more being reconciled shall we be saved by His life? Well, was Abraham justified? Yes. We found that out in the study of Galatians, right? He is justified by faith, just like we are in Christ. And he was justified by looking to the Messiah, who is Christ. Do you know he has the same faith as you and I? We say, but he had such strong faith. He got the same faith as you and I. Isn't it funny how we always look at these Bible heroes? Oh, they had such strong faith. They got the same faith as we do. Now remember, Elijah, great man of the faith, right? Remember, David, we look at this. Great man of faith. He's like, Lord, I'm the only one left. And Jezebel wants to kill me. And the Lord says, I got 5,000 who haven't bowed their knee to Baal. The Lord's always got a people, doesn't He? He's always got a people. But see, even people of strong faith can be bought low. It's normal for us. We're humans. We're humans, beloved. Oh, my. And righteousness wasn't imputed to Abraham before he was circumcised, because he wasn't circumcised until years later. The promise was given to him first. Ah. Oh. See, folks tend to leave that stuff out, don't they? No, he was looking to Christ, beloved. He was looking. Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 17. I'll read Genesis 15:6, and it says this about Abraham. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. He believed what God said. Do we not believe what God said? By the grace and mercy of God? That's the only way we believe God is by the grace of God, by the Holy Spirit regenerating us. Otherwise, we wouldn't believe it. We'd just be like everyone else, groping around in the dark, thinking that, well, if I do this, I can be saved. Or if I do that, there ain't nothing we can do to be saved except look to Christ. And that's a gift of God. Just think. I want us just to think about this. Marvel today and marvel this week. Meditate upon this. That you and I have been given ears to hear the voice of the Savior. You and I have been given eyes to see, the eye of faith. We've never seen Christ, but yet by the eye of faith, oh, we love Him. And we see Him, don't we, by our eye of faith. One day, we're going to see Him, just like we see each other. And what a glorious day that'll be. My. Look at this here in Genesis chapter 17. We're starting verse 5. We'll go to verse 25. Or no, we'll skip a couple of verses here. Hold on. Genesis 17, verse 1. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. What a statement. I'm the Almighty God and no one else. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face. And God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. And thou shalt be a father of many nations. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. So it was a sign of the covenant. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation, he that is born in the house or bought with money of the strangers, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. And Abraham was 90 years old and nine, and when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And then look at verse 24 and 25. And Abraham was 90 years old and nine when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. So the promise was given to him about the seed far before he was circumcised. It was just a token of the covenant that God had made with him. And you know, we're circumcised spiritually by an operation of God, the Holy Spirit. That's called being born again. The circumcision which we've been circumcised with is not of the flesh, which profiteth nothing. It's by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit of God. My. And look at verses 11 and 12 of Romans chapter 5, back in our text. Look at this. Romans 5, 11 and 12. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Yet one minute. Now we are justified in and through the Lord Jesus Christ by His blood and by His death. There's no other way for us to be justified before God. None. It's impossible. It's not, man cannot do this work, but this is a mighty work of God. This is a miracle of grace. Because remember, we're dead. We're graveyard dead. I remember hearing, I think it was Big Don went to a graveyard one time. And he stood beside this, in front of this grave, old tomb, right? Old grave from the 1800s. And he said, if you can come out of there, you can marry my daughter. And he used this in the sermon illustration. He said, nothing happened. Because the fella's dead. See, that's our state. When we fell in Adam, we were completely spiritually dead. No ability. And God found us in that state, didn't He? He found us in that state. And He made us alive, beloved. And now we're justified by His blood. Justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rendered innocent. Can we really wrap our minds around that? It's true. Rejoice. Think of that this week. As we go to various places, think about that. I've been rendered innocent by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's true of every born-again, blood-washed believer. Rendered innocent. Before God. Before the one whose law we broke. And what love is manifested by God in sending His Son to die for those who are enemies in their minds. But yet, in their minds, they're enemies with God. But yet, they're loved by Him from eternity. And because we're sons, God sends the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, whereby we now cry, Abba, Father. You ever wonder why now you cry out to God? It's because of the Spirit in you. Did you cry out to God before the Lord saved you?
Now he's the one we go to. Father, help me. Remember Abba Father? That's Hebrew and Greek. Right? Abba being Father, and then Father in the Greek being Father. Some commentators say Father, my Father. I love that. I didn't have a great relationship with my dad, but my Heavenly Father has loved me from eternity. And he not like my dad from on this world. Now some being blessed with wonderful dads, and that's a wonderful blessing. But we can all relate that our Heavenly Father loves us far more than our earthly father. And that's amazing. Loves us so much that he sent his son to die in our room and place that we might be justified, rendered innocent before the throne and bar of God. Right? By the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know by the shedding of his blood, that's the giving of his life, isn't it? He poured his life out for us. My, what a Savior. What a Redeemer is Christ our King. And we joy. We joy in God now, don't we? You joy in God when you think that you've been rendered innocent? My, let this fill our hearts with joy. We can rejoice over this, can't we? This is something we can be joyful about. Washed in the blood of Christ. How do you think those Israelites felt when they were set free out of Egypt? My, I bet you could hear them singing. When they weren't murmuring. Right? But they were singing too, weren't they? Probably when it says when they got to the other side of the Red Sea and the Lord had the sea, they were singing. Remember Mary? I think it's Miriam picked up a timbrel and just they started rejoicing over what the Lord's done. Destroying their great enemy. Do you know our great enemy's been destroyed? Our sin. God doesn't look at it anymore. He doesn't see us as sinners anymore. I still can't get over that. Can you? You can keep telling me and telling Ellis the preacher, Wayne, your sins are gone. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, if I could only just grasp that fully. I believe it by God's grace. But oh my, just keep telling me because I need to be reminded of that. You know why we need the gospel every week? Because we forget so easy. Yeah, we forget so easy. Let us remind ourselves. Let us wake up in the morning. If we're God's people, let us wake up in the morning and go, I've been rendered innocent by the blood and by the work of Christ in Him alone. Let us, when we're down, and we go through torments of heart, we go through torments in the mind, let us wake up and think about these things. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm justified. I don't deserve this. And you know what it'll do? It'll cause us to cry out to Him in prayer. In prayer, you've heard me in the past in religion, I used to say to Vicki, I'm going to go pray now. And I go and I even got on my knees. And I thought I was more holy when I got on my knees and all that, and on my bed and put my hands like that. I remember it was totally ritualistic. You know, now I just pray to God whenever I want. I'm picking sticks up outside. I'm praying to Him. It's so wonderful. Thanking Him for the beautiful land that we have in this community where we all live. It's beautiful, isn't it? Hearing the birds. Oh, never get enough of those little fellows. Singing. Oh, praising God. You got to think I'm crazy, but I was walking up the side ramp this week. I told Zane and a couple others, I was walking up the side ramp here. And on the top of the steeple's corner, there's this blackbird, red-winged blackbird. Could see that little shine there. And this bird, it was singing its heart out. And I said, keep praising Jesus, little fella. My, he was just singing. Who's he singing to? is singing to the Lord, right? Spurgeon said that. The birds lift their head up in adoration after they eat, they drink. What do? They lift their beaks up, right? The trees wave in adoration. All creation. Wave, watch it in the wind. When you see, the next time you see a tree waving, Spurgeon said, it's waving in adoration to the Lord. Okay? He said, you go to a lake, the Great Lakes here, or go to the ocean, that sea comes in, crash, crash. He said, clapping, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Isn't that a wonderful way to look at things? My, what a wonderful way to look at things. It's amazing. I know you heard that story 5 times, but it's so wonderful. It's wonderful. My, so let us think about these wondrous things that we have in Christ. My, oh my. We are justified in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, in Him alone. Let's go back to Romans chapter 5 there. Let's bring out some things that are right here in our text for us, and then we'll close. First point, justified. Justified. We're in Romans chapter... I got lost there. Romans chapter 5, verses 9. But let's start at verse 1. I want to start at verse 1 here. Look at this. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, no one is justified except those who have faith in Christ. And that faith is God-given, right? He gives it to us. See? We have what? These are statements of fact. We have peace. So we're justified in Christ and through Christ. We have peace with God. How? Through Christ. Look at that. One verse with so much packed into it. By whom also we have access by faith. There's the next point. We have access to the throne of grace. Continuous. We have access by faith. That's in Christ, of course. Into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the hope. Who's our hope? He who we've never seen. Christ. Isn't that amazing? See, people have to see things to believe things. We don't have to see Christ to believe in them. Because we've been given faith by God to believe on Christ. See, the natural man, they have to see it to believe it. And we were there too. And we may even say that about some things in life now. But think, we believe in something. We believe in someone who we've never seen. That's because of God-given faith. God-given faith. Look at that. And we have a hope. We have a hope, which is Christ. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also known that tribulation worketh patience. Look at that. We can look back on our tribulations and go, look what the Lord's done for us. And we will come out of the other side more patient, I guarantee you. We might not see it in ourselves, but others will see it. Others will see it. And patience experience. How can we help another who's going through the similar thing that we're going through or that we went through except by experience, right? You ever think about how you go through a trial and then someone you know goes through the same thing and you can comfort them? It's amazing. And it may be 5, 10 years down the road. Maybe 20 years down the road. But you're able to help them get through that. It's incredible. And experience hope. See, these trials that we go through in this world, these tribulations, they produce hope in us. And that hope is only in Christ. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You've heard me say many times that the one thing that the devil can't counterfeit is this true love of God that's shed abroad in the believer's heart. He can counterfeit a lot of things,
But he can't counterfeit that. Because this love that we have, not only for our king, but for one another, right, is only comes about through the Holy Spirit of God. No other way. There's no other way. For, look at this. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for us. We were strengthless. We were destitute. Remember in that verse 2? Why go back either the weak and beggarly elements, the strengthless elements in Galatians? That's where we were. Christ died for us, sent by the Father. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commandeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, here we go. Now here we see the tie-in with our verse today. Much more than being now justified by his blood. Do you know right now you're justified if you're a believer? Right now. Right now. That's what he's saying, right? He's not saying in the future. Does he? Right now, you and I, as believers, right now are rendered innocent. Right now. Someone will say, well, how can you preach that way? People will go out the door and go crazy. God's people won't. No, God's people won't do that. Not at all. We're not against the law. We just know we can never fulfill it. But praise God, Christ fulfilled it for us. But it says here, look at this. I'm going to close with this. Look at this. Much more than being now. Right now. Rendered innocent. It says, justified. That's rendered innocent. How? By his blood. That's the key, isn't it? By his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. And what do we say? Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a Redeemer is Jesus Christ, my Lord. He's truly a wonderful, merciful Savior, isn't he? Truly.